for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Tuesday morning, December the 26th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Well, some of you have to get acquainted through the days with Brother George Wingate. He was here the 4th of July, and he was here several years ago to minister. We've known him for a long, long time and appreciate the ministry of deliverance that the Lord has given him. And he comes to us from the sunny state of Florida, Jacksonville, where it's a little cold down there right now as well as here. But we appreciate the word of the Lord that the Lord gives George to minister to us. Come on, Brother George.
Glory. Do you love Jesus this morning? I think we can do better than that. Oh, hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I think we're all breathing here this morning.
Amen.
So that means we need to praise the Lord. Need to praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you this morning, Lord God, for the privilege of being able to stand here and be your mouthpiece. Oh, hallelujah. And Father, by faith, I'm just simply going to just say, hey, I step aside and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, may you and the Word of God bear witness together in and through this mortal frame. Hallelujah. Lord, I would say with David of old, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you, O God, that we have life and have it more abundant in Jesus. And Lord, help us to become more and more aware of the preciousness, the blessedness that we have in being a part of you. And at the same time, Lord, help us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Help us to know our enemy and endeavor to put him underfoot and keep him there and not allow him to crawl or do whatever to get back into our minds again. God, help us to know that the mind is the battleground and that your word is true, that you tell us to put on the whole armor of God, not just some bits and pieces, but the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day and having done all to stand, not to be tossed to and fro, but to stand, trusting and believing in our God and knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Coffey did such a marvelous job last night on sharing with us about the soul ties and whatever. And I just said, well, now, Lord, what do you want me to do this morning? And before I left Florida, I just sat down and prayed, and I got all kinds of material and studies and lessons and teachings, and I just sit there and I said, okay, Lord, I'm you know what you want, and you know what you're going to do up there, so Lord, just let me be sensitive to your spirit and be a blessing to the other ministers and to everybody that's here. So this morning I'm going to pass these things out that I have here. It's essential measures for your daily walk with Jesus. Essential measures for your daily walk with Jesus. It's one thing to get deliverance. It's another thing to keep it. It's one thing to get healing. And it's another thing to keep it. I saw a young girl who was dying of cancer. God's power touched her. She got up off of that bed and walked up on the platform. Hadn't eaten anything and I don't know how long. And they gave her something to eat. But yet, 1 month later, she died. When God gives us something, we don't need to let the devil take it away from us. So I'm just believing that these things are really going to help. I'll give this little lady over here the chore of handing all these things out, except for Jim. Where'd Jim go? Bill Goodson. Okay, that's his. And he'll know what that's all about. Give one to everybody. One to each person. Oh, yes. The glory of the Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Oh, you mean I'm going to get lots of money? No, that's not what I mean. The richness of God is love and peace and joy and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we can just learn to be obedient to the Word of God, we will rise higher and higher and higher. Charles Finney got so close to God and such an anointing was on the man till Charles Finney could walk into a factory where he wasn't even known, just walk in there, not say a word, and people would leave their machines that they were working, get on their face and start repenting. Crying out to God. The Bible says, no man comes unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. And that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the Spirit of God begins to move, bondage has to do, get going. Freedom in Jesus. Thank you, honey. Well, hallelujah. I don't know if we'll get through all 11 of these or not, but anyhow, we'll start. Let me say this to start with. Turn in your Bibles, thank you, Holy Ghost, to Hebrews chapter 5. This one's not on there, but the Lord just brought it to mind, so I'm going to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. I just ask Him to do that. That's all right, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, the very first verse. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Gifts. What are we going to offer to God as gifts? Obedience. Commitment. Belief. Trust. And what are the sacrifices? We're going to fast and pray and seek God's face. We're going to stay on our face before God. We're going to pour out our very life for others. Sacrifices. Oh, but I thought Jesus already paid the sacrifice. Well, if we read the Word of God, it tells us that we must fill up the sufferings of Christ in our mortal bodies. Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. Isn't that right? Well, immediately, well, okay, Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And he gives sight. No, there's more to it than that. What I've done, you will do. Jesus was ridiculed, scoffed, mocked, scorned, and finally nailed to a cross. What I've done, you will do. And self-denial must come if we're going to see the power of God work. And that denying of self is literally nailing ourselves to a cross of renouncing the things of the world. Again, the Word of God says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Come out from amongst them, and be ye separate unto yourselves, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. All of us still have a lot of double-mindedness we need to get rid of. I tell you, the world out there doesn't have nothing that I want. Nothing. I'd rather stay right here, if I could, right here in this place, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That'd suit me fine. Glory. Well, all of that's just a little on the, you know. High priest. Every one of us is to be a high priest unto God. Isn't that right? That means maturity, doesn't it? Be no more children tossed to and fro. Maturity does not come with age. It begins with the acceptance of personal responsibility. Oh, but she made me do it. Oh, but he made me do it. Oh, but they made me do it. No. Remember what I wrote on the blackboard? Some of y'all weren't here. It says, do not allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They are powerless. Your reaction is their only power. Reaction. For an action, there's a reaction. How are you going to react to whatever is said or done to you? How did Jesus react? Remember, he said, what I've done, you will do. Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin court, wrongly accused of everything, and he just stood there and didn't open his mouth. Didn't bother him the slightest, Brother Jim. Why? Because he knew who he was. Didn't make any difference. May God help us to come to that realization of knowing who we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Number one says, it is essential that you become aware of God's power in your life. You can't fight alone. Take care to place yourself under the blood of Jesus by an act of faith and prayer the first thing after you awake in the morning. Now, there's some scriptures, just a tidbit, just something to get you started along there. But the first one I want us to look at is Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Praise the Lord. Joel, would you get me a glass of water, please? Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Was Jesus' blood sufficient? Was his blood good enough? Was his blood powerful enough? The devil really didn't know what he was doing when he worked through those people to put that man on the cross. Because when the blood of Jesus dripped down and when it touched the earth, it redeemed the earth from the curse that it had been under. Thank you, sir. And when it says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, if you drink my blood, you're going to have life? Well, we can't get the blood of Jesus. If we think in the natural, that's, you know. Well, if we drink just a little bit of grape juice, that means blood. No. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and Mary conceived. Our spirit is an egg that needs penetrating by the sperm of God, the Holy Ghost. And within the structure of the male, that's the bloodline. And that baptism of the Holy Ghost is a supernatural infusion of the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem us from the curse of the law. And that blood is sufficient. Is sufficient. Hallelujah. Take care to place yourself under the blood of Jesus by an act of faith and prayer the first thing after you awake in the morning. And the new creation that's within us. When you look at me, you don't see me. You only see the tabernacle, the house that I live in. And one day, this old house, it won't be anymore. That new creation that's growing within this tabernacle, that's developing, that creation, that spiritual creation that's made in God's image, desires to speak to God. Again, the necessity of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and having a prayer language that we can pray in the Spirit. When I pray in the Spirit, I don't talk to men, I don't talk to me, I talk to God. Isn't that what the Word says? Is it important to talk directly to God? Oh, but I just talk to God and, you know, I'm in English, I speak English, or I speak to God in English. Well, that's fine too. But the Bible says in the Spirit we speak mysteries. And sometimes we don't know how to pray in our native tongue. So we start praying in the Spirit. And most of us can witness to the fact that we've seen things happen when we pray in the Spirit that ordinarily wouldn't have happened if we'd have just prayed in English. Praying in English, a lot of times doubt gets in the way. You pray in tongues and doubt's gone. Because your head doesn't know what you're saying anyway. Let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. For this is my blood. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus that we can receive forgiveness. And there's a condition even put on that, and we'll get into that a little later on in this teaching this morning. So if we place ourselves under the blood of Jesus by an act of faith and prayer, the first thing after we awake in the morning, the whole day is going to go better. The whole day is going to go better. Why early in the morning? I don't remember how many times, but I think it's around 80-some times that through the Word that we're told something about early. They that seek me early will find me, God says. Jesus arose a great deal before daylight and got up and sought the Lord early. Well, he said, what I've done, you will do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We would rather sacrifice our health, our wealth, our well-being, rather than to be totally, utterly, absolutely obedient to God. But hey, you can't outgive God. It's impossible to outgive God. I give him an old, wore-out, beat-up, death-doomed being, and he gave me back new life. Song going through my mind about that new life. Glory to God. All right, let's turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. My flesh longs for you. Have you heard anything contrary to that? Oh, the flesh, you know, this, that, and the flesh just wants to do evil. The flesh, you know. Negative. But yet the Word of God tells us that we must bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, that means, and if we think about it in terms like we ought to, when it says flesh, it means senses. The flesh can't do anything of itself. It's got to get a signal from up here, right? That works through the mind or through one or more of the senses. Always. Take the sense away from a person, kill that area, and that person becomes a vegetable. A man that was, when I was working at the post office, heard this story. A man who worked as a mail sorter on a train was right ready to retire, and he made one last trip. This is going to be my last, and I just want to make this last trip, say goodbye to everybody. Passed another train that was loaded with pulpwood, and somehow or other one of those little logs about that big around was loose and just in the right spot at the right time, and that thing jumped off of there and come through the window and hit that man in the head. And they found him. He was alive. But from then on, he didn't know anything. It destroyed his sense of reasoning, the five senses. He was just a vegetable. What a way to retire. Thank God that we are able to use all of our senses this morning. We can think and, you know, we can hear, smell, taste, feel, see, so on. Hallelujah. Early will I seek thee. Yes. Best thing in the world to do is first thing in the morning, put your mind on the Lord. Very first thing, begin to praise and to worship God. First thing in the morning. You set the stage for your walk that day with the Lord. Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me early or diligently will find me. Brother Jim, what does yours say?
Early.
Early. I have the New King James. It says diligently. Diligently. All right, number two. Can you see, before I leave that one, can you see the need to seek God early in the morning? You go through a deliverance. The house is swept and garnished, but empty. And those spirits, they can wander out there and they say, oh, well, let's see if we can get back over there and maybe we can slip back in. Believe you me, they'll do everything possible to slip back in. You give the devil a quarter of an inch and he'll take 10,000 miles. So the very first thing in the morning, set the stage for your walk in victory that day by worshiping and praising and rejoicing in the Lord, praying in the Spirit. All right, number two, consult with God about your life for the day. Learn to live moment by moment, just like the natural man does from breath to breath. Moment by moment. Isaiah 26:3, God says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed upon me. And isn't it amazing? God has made us in such a way that I can think and concentrate on, let's say, painting that wall. And at the same time, while I'm painting and my eyes are looking at what I'm doing and my hands doing it, I can praise and worship the Lord all at the same time. I can concentrate on driving my car in traffic and just maneuvering around and at the same time be praying in the Spirit, just rejoicing in the Lord. I can sit out there in that boat with that rod and reel in my hand and just praising the Lord and waiting for that bow and that fish. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, doesn't the Word of God say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? In everything give thanks. But you don't know, Brother George, that person just darted right in front of me and almost caused me to have a wreck. I couldn't help but just... No. No, if we did what God wants us to do, we'd say, Lord, bless him. Keep him safe, Lord. Matthew 6:33-34. I would almost hesitate to even tell you to go there because I think everybody knows what that is. But we'll look at it anyway. Nothing like looking at the Word of God. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now would God himself there in the man Jesus, would he tell you to seek something you couldn't find? If Jesus said seek the kingdom, then you must understand that you can find the kingdom. Oh, that means someday when I die I'll finally go. No. I really stir some of these rapturists up when I say they start talking about, well, you know, I'm going to go. I say, well, that's fine. I'll see you when you get there. What do you mean? Well, I'm already there. What do you mean? You're standing right here. No, I'm already there. Boy, that gets them to thinking. Then I have to explain to them when they look at me, they don't see me. They only see the house that I live in. But I'm a spirit being, and I'm joined to God. And God is everywhere. So that means if God is the king of the universe, that's heaven, wherever, whatever, it doesn't make any difference, I'm there with him right now. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, what is this kingdom of God? Romans 14:17 tells us exactly. It says the kingdom of God is not things of this world, that of meat and drink, but it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Jesus plainly said, unless you be baptized in the Spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Oh, I tell you what, it's good to be able to live utterly, absolutely carefree. No worries, no frustration, no concerns, really. I get concerned about, you know, people that I love and I want to see them accept the Lord, but worry, no. Free. Free in the Lord. Rejoicing in Jesus. That's the reason I get excited about the Lord. Stay excited. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. Well, let's back up to verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Whew, what a statement. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Uh-oh. Maybe we need to not, you know, just take that part out. No, if we're going to know him in the power of his resurrection, we're also going to be there with him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. What has Jesus laid hold of us for? Did he just save us just so that we could miss that lake of fire, miss hell? No. Back during World War II, I went through boot training, 6 weeks of boot training, and also 6 weeks of advanced training. Why did they do all of that? To try to help me stay alive when I got sent to wherever they was going to send me. So God calls us out of darkness and into his light, and we go through a series of trainings so that when God says, okay, now you're getting up to a little bit of maturity, and I want you to be, I want to send you out into the front lines, you're soldiers in my army, but I want you to be prepared to be able to fight the battles without getting shot down. And do you know, there's just in the last few years, there have been some very well-known ministries or ministers, shall I say, that the enemy has taken advantage of and shot down. Why? Simply because they did not take into realization that the enemy can take advantage of this thing right here through any one of the five senses. Without the crucifixion of the old man, without putting this natural man to death, without self-denial, we're not going to make it. Again, that's the reason the Word of God says to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. Sister Mildred last night really was bearing some burdens here when she is sharing and working to get freedom for all of us. Some training. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, we're told. Verse 12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We don't have such things as time machines that we can get into and go back 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years and do some things over again, like some of the stuff that I've seen in the past on the television. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about yesterday. It's gone. It's done. So why worry about it? Why accept those lying, deceiving thoughts the devil puts in our mind? Oh, if I'd have just done so and so. Oh, if implies doubt. Doubt, as it comes along, will bring, right tagging along with it, fear. And fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made mature in love. But mature love puts an end to fear. You can tell how dead you are to self and how alive you are to Christ by the fear that rules in your life, if it does, in any way whatsoever. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Nothing. Oh, you mean if that person comes and points a gun at me and says he's going to kill me, I don't have to even have a little bit of fear? How can a dead person be killed? If you're going to be afraid of something like that, then you're carnally minded. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And God is endeavoring, teaching, and training, and bringing us to a place to where we're going to be spiritually minded. We're going to walk like Jesus. We're going to talk like Jesus. We're going to act like Jesus. He said we would, didn't he? And if he said we would, that means we could. And if we could, so why can't we? Glory. Number 3 says, never let the mind become slack or careless in its thinking. Learn to discern. Learn to discern. One of the biggest needs in the body of Christ is for discerning of spirits. Well, how do you do that, Brother George? Well, you just learn to stop and think about what's going on in my mind. And the more that you can know God's Word, the more easier it is for you to discern what's going on. God hasn't left anything out of this Word. Nothing. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word won't. So learn to discern. And then you choose this day whom you will serve. Will you, as a spiritual being, serve this thing and stay in that deceived, carnal-minded mode? Or will you obey this? The decision is ours. Now, the devil knows that we desire to make the right decision. So then the only thing he can do is come and beguile and bewitch us and cause us to think, well, I just don't know what I am going to do. Well, I just don't like you, Phil. I don't like, you know, yakety yak. I. What got Satan thrown out in the beginning? The word I. That's that I, you know. Learn to discern. Don't allow your feelings, your senses, to rule you. Instead, be ruled by the Word of God. I think you've got Romans 12 there. Just give it some study. The first verse says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Number 4 says, refuse to look back in regret over the past or forward with the vague fears of the future. I think that our God is big enough to handle whatever situation comes up, don't you? Makes no difference what it is. Well, and, you know, everything's falling apart. Well, let it fall. So what? The Bible says that the righteous have never been forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Back during the Depression, I was the last of 4 children. 5. One died very small. I didn't ever know about that one much. This is what I was told. And my dad was a commercial fisherman. He to start with, he had an orange grove down around Ocala, and it got froze completely, and they left and come up to Mayport. Dad started fishing. There was no market for the fish. There was just terrible. And I can remember we lived in a little, what we called a houseboat. It was a little barge with a 2-room house on the top of it, and it was set up on some pilings. And there was a fertilizer factory there in Mayport that they made fertilizer out of fish called Menhaden. And one of the boats came down and docked at Mayport. Now, we didn't have anything to eat whatsoever. Dad's sitting there on them steps going up to that little thing, and he's praying, just trusting the Lord. And the captain off of that boat walked over there and struck up a conversation with my dad, and he said, say, there's a big pan of ham and beans and biscuits out there on the boat, and he said, I'd just like to bless y'all with it. God used the captain of that ship, that boat, to come over there and feed the family. The righteous have never been forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. My dad just simply went to God. God supplied. God so clothed the lilies of the field and feed the birds of the air. How much more will he bless you, O ye of little faith? Don't allow fears to have anything to do with you about whatever is going to happen out there. We're not of that kingdom out there, right? We are of a different kingdom. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills or 10,000 hills, and he owns all the gold and the silver and the oil and the gas and everything else under the hills. Glory. Number 5, feed upon the Word of God. Best food you can eat. A lot of times we need just to not eat any physical food, but just feed on the Word. How much better off we would be. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him every once in a while. I don't think I read that right, did I? Better see if my glasses might be. Who seek him every Wednesday and Sunday. No, it says who seek him with the whole heart. Well, you're not going to seek him with the whole heart unless you're willing to use your mind. They also do no iniquity. Oh, my goodness, I thought everybody had sin, Jim. But the word says they do no iniquity, no sin. The devil comes along and says, oh, now, wait a minute. You know, you got to sin a little bit once in a while anyway. Well, maybe just a little bit every day. You going to believe that lie, or you going to believe what the word says? If you go over and look in 1 John, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, but Brother George, I'm a Christian. I'm not of the devil. Well, what'd you commit that sin for? Well, you know, after all, everybody has to sin a little bit. No, everybody don't have to sin a little bit. I challenge you to meditate and study Psalm 119 and just make a note how many times it just says the word. Just, you know, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Yes. Every last one of them says testimonies, commandments, precepts, word. Man. Then verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to stop stumbling? You want to stop falling around? Then let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verses 20, 21, and 22. This is one here that we need to print it in big print and put it up on our bedroom wall, on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator. But most of all, we need to get it written on the tables of our hearts. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, folks, if that's the truth, and I believe it is, then we just simply need to look in the mirror and we need to say, hey, you are going to spend more time in the Word of God. And your head says, but I just must see so-and-so. Why, you know that program. Oh, that football game is going to be so tremendous. Watching that thing on that boob tube will not profit you one iota. But meditating and studying this word, it will profit you. I promise I'm stepping on some toes, but if that's the case, then you walk on the bottom of them, so allow me to walk on the top of it. Oh, glory. Way back years ago, before I ever made a total commitment to the Lord, I was working as a letter carrier for the post office. There was an old evangelist. He was 84 years old on my route that they give me. I mean, just a happy-go-lucky, he was always whistling and a-singing when I could catch him home. And generally, he was out in his garage typing a little note to a missionary here or there somewhere. Two fingers. That's the way he typed. One day we got to talking. And I don't remember how it come up. But he said, oh, we made some comment about all of the garbage that's going on in the world. He said, yeah. He said, ever since the invention of the television, people's morals have gone lower and lower and lower. Trouble has increased and increased. And he says, I won't have one of the things. I've never had one, and I won't have one. And he says, I've told my children, if they get one and put it in the house, they've seen the last of me. And he was dead serious about it, too. There's one thing about it. That old gentleman had the joy and the peace and the love of God just radiating from him. Now, this is simply my opinion, folks. But I believe it's one of the biggest tools the devil has in to keep Christians double-minded. I got rid of mine a long time before the Gulf War come along, and then I got talked into allowing one to come back, and I noticed between my wife and my sister, strife starting to stir. And one day, they was going to watch some show, and one wanted to watch something else, and then I said, that's it. That's the end of it. Out it goes. I won't never have one again. Never. I don't need it. If I've got time for anything, I've got time for God. When I sit down to read the Word of God, I'm not reading a book. I'm allowing God to talk to me. Does God want to talk to us? Is it important that He talk to us? How do you think Jim would feel if his precious wife, you know, here's this guy, he's just talking away, and Jim walks up there and kind of taps her, and she just don't pay a bit of attention to her husband. She just listening, you know, just listening to this, and this goes on, and Jim, again, he says, you know, a little bit more firm. How do you think Jim's going to feel? Pretty soon, he's going to say, hey, that's my wife. May I speak to her, please? If he's really got the love of God, if he didn't really have it, he might get around there and say, "Hey, fella, go on. This is my property. Get you know, scram." My Bible says that God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, and that means mothers, to the third and fourth generation. Not guarantee you, unless we want to put our foot down and stop being double-minded, if we want to walk in the holiness and the fear of God, then we better start doing it in order to protect our future generations. Shut the door on the devil. I wish I had the information about Jonathan Edwards that I heard just before I came up here, what happened. A mighty man of God, what happened to his descendants down through several generations? How many of those men were ministers? How many of those people were just tremendously successful, respected people? All because of Jonathan Edwards' total surrender and commitment to God. Believing and trusting in God. Hallelujah. Give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Number 6, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How can we do that? We have other things to do. How in the world can we pray without ceasing? Well, we get tired of praying in English. We can pray in tongues. But there's another side to prayer. Prayer is communication, isn't that right? Well, if prayer is communication, and God is who He says He is, and He is who He says He is, then really who should do the most talking in this conversation or communication? Many, many times we get so busy praying, talking to God, and God's up there, you know, or right here, you know. Jim, can you stand up just a minute, please? Let me use you as a guinea pig. Now, Jim wants to say something to me, okay? And he's about to start to say something. So, Jim, just open your mouth. Right. Now, wait a minute. Every time God tries to say something, oh, but God, I want you to save so-and-so. Oh, but God, will you help me pay this bill? Oh, but God. And we just keep on and on and on. And God's doing His utmost to tell us, hey, I've already supplied your needs. I've already done it. If you'll just accept it and receive it, and if you'll just shut up and allow me to work, everything will turn out all right.
Amen.
I found that the more that I let God talk to me, the less I have to talk to Him about. Because the answers are already here. Just believe it and receive it. Praise God. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks and praise much. Be diligent to have no gaps in your communion with God. You might want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 sometime. We won't get into that right now. Then number 7 says, walk in the light of obedience. There's only 2 reasons why we as human beings have problems, troubles, sicknesses, disease, whatever. 2 reasons. That's all. One of them is ignorance. We're ignorant of Satan's devices. And the other is rejection. I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about the heathen out there. I'm talking about we Christians. We are ignorant of Satan's devices. We listen to what this thing says instead of what the Word of God says. Or we know what the Word of God says, but again we choose to reject it because of some mind manipulation by some spirit of disease, infirmity, distress, whatever, working right here again. I stayed in a halfway house one time, and I'd been gone, and I come back, and there was no bed there. There was no place to stay except down in the basement, and they had some mattresses down there. And I said, okay, Dan, that'll be fine, you know, just somewhere I can plop down and sleep a while. They had a guy down there on a little bunk right by the window that had been a real bad alcoholic. And they had prayed for him and was trying to help him along and get some deliverance for him. And he got up about 3 o'clock and left to go to work. Well, he'd been having an awful lot of trouble with cramps in his feet and ankles. Just really bothering him. So when he left, I got up and went over and got laid out on his bed. And I hadn't been there 5 minutes before both my feet started cramping like crazy. Now, I don't have that kind of problem. I just raised myself up a little bit and I pointed to my feet. I said, you demon spirit, get off in the name of Jesus. And it left. We have not because we ask not. Jesus said he gives to us power over all the power of the devil, and nothing would by any means hurt us. Luke 10:19. If he said he gives to us power, then he does. But if we don't use it, that's our fault. And if the name of Jesus is above every name, then whatever that name of that problem is, doesn't make any difference what it is. If the name of Jesus is bigger, then we can say to the problem, hey, in Jesus' name, go. Go. Then it will go. But I don't feel like it's gone. Who said you had to feel like it was gone? Walk in the light of obedience. Number 8, resist Satan with all spiritual weapons at your disposal. Spiritual weapons, I said, not carnal weapons, not physical weapons. I was called to this house one night at 11 o'clock. This guy was high on drugs and he had locked his mother out of the house. And she called me and said, I can't get in my house. My son is nuts and he's locked me out and I'm calling from my neighbor's house. And I said, well, I'll be there and it'll take me about 20, 25 minutes to drive there. We'll see what we can do. I got in my car and I started praying in the spirit, binding the powers of the devil. And by the time I got there, he had let her in the house. He'd gone to his bedroom. So, well, I said, okay, where is he? When she opened the door, she said, back there in his bedroom. So I walked back there and this gruff voice said, yeah. I said, I want you out of there and in the kitchen. I want to talk to you, and I'll give you less than 5 minutes to get there. This guy's about 6'4", 5 inches tall, about 250 pounds. But let me tell you, with the Holy Ghost boldness, you don't fear nothing. That guy come on in the kitchen there, and he's standing. I'm standing here, and he's standing about as far as the outer edge of that thing from me. And the Holy Ghost is just pouring. The Word is pouring out to him. And he steps up to me and he sticks his fist up under my chin. I want to tear your head off. Now, what would you do? I'm standing there and I just stuck my hands in my pocket just like this. I said, you put another ounce of pressure against my face. There's an angel standing by you. And he'll tear your arm off and slap you side the head with it. Shut up and sit down. And there's a chair right there. And it was just as if that angel just grabbed him and plopped him down in that chair. He sit there for the next 2.5 hours, and all of that garbage dissipated, and finally he says, can I please go to bed now? That began his road to recovery. The one that lives in us is greater than all of that garbage. And we just simply must come to that place with a boldness to do what God says we could do. God's no respecter of persons, is he? And if he worked with David to slay Goliath, you ever wonder why David picked up 5 little stones? He didn't need but one. What's that tell us today? That's right. We pick up the 5-fold ministry when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. In whatever situation we come in contact with, we've got a stone, one or the other, or even more if we need it. I kind of cringe a little bit inward when I come across somebody. Well, now let me tell you, brother, I've got the gift of healing. Hey, I don't have any gifts. The only thing I have is the giver. Just the giver. I just want more Jesus. He says he departs the gifts as he wills. If he wants to work through me with the gift of healing for you, fine. If he wants to work through this vessel with a gift of the word of something or other, of word of knowledge, fine. Resist Satan with all spiritual weapons at your disposal. Never treat a mental suggestion and oppressive idea as just one of those natural things. Well, after all, you know, Brother George, my mother was like this. Well, my dad had such a temper, you know, I just kind of inherited. Yeah, okay, you inherited. Get rid of that inherited demon then. Never surrender or give place. One of the hardest things that any of us will ever have to do in our walk with God in developing our spiritual life is to resist this thing right here. Right here. Make up your mind and set your will that this is not going to be the ruling factor in your life. Number 9, deal quickly with failure. Now, there's a scripture there written for that number 8, James 4, 7 and 8 about resisting the devil. Number 9, deal quickly with failure. Satan, our conscience, our shame and regret will all combine to keep us depressed and defeated. And how is he going to do that? Through your mind. Your foot's not going to say, well, now, let me tell you something the rest of the, you know. No, it ain't going to work that way. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all. Didn't say some, did it? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Well, if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, that means you must be holy. Now, I don't mean full of holes. I mean holy. Complete. Blessed. Number 10 says, if the enemy breaks through, take a firm stand and refuse further ground. Plead the finished work of Calvary. The finished work of Calvary. It wasn't a half-done job. The finished work of Calvary. And the ascended position of our Lord commands Satan to leave you alone. It's one thing to come here and to receive ministry and receive deliverance and whatever. But it's another thing when you go back out there. Then it's up to you as individuals to begin to exercise your authority and your position as believers, and you do the word. If you don't do it, you deceive yourself. Oh, but I just couldn't. Oh, yes, you can. That thought that comes and says, well, I just couldn't. Oh, I just don't feel. Kick that thought out. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. All of your need. All of your need. Number 11. I think you have Romans chapter 6. You might want to jot this down. The 4 P's. Give it some study. Romans 5 is the promise. Romans 6 is the problem. Romans 7 is the provision, and Romans 8 is the power. Meditate on it. It will strengthen you. It will build you. The four P's, promise, problem, provision, power. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It is of great importance that the Christian learn to live in the will. The will, not feelings, the will. And not in the realm of feelings. Along with this, oh boy. It is vitally important that a person give adequate rest and care to the physical body. You ever drive around in a place and you see a lot of houses, you know, and they look so nice, and then you see one that hasn't had paint for 10 years and a window's sideways and you know, it looks all run down and ramshackle. You're familiar with what I'm saying. A lot of us Christians are like that. We get so spiritually minded, we're no earthly good. And God says, I want you to be complete and whole and healthy individuals. I want you to be a shining light. I want my power and love and peace and joy and all the other fruits and aspects of me to flow through you. And I want people to look at you and say, hey, there's something there. I'm going to find out what it is. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Take that home. Study it. It's yours. Praise the Lord. Now, if I can just get you all to stand to your feet for a minute. In faith, believing, say this with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I commit myself to you.
I commit myself to you. 100%.
And even if I miss it,
I commit myself
by an act of my will,
by
the confession of my mouth,
to be more
obedient
in the days to come
than ever before.
I thank you for your word.
I will
make it a lamp
unto my feet
and a light
unto my path.
Oh God,
I thank you
for Jesus,
for
all that he's done for
me.
Father God,
in that name,
the name of Jesus,
I ask you
to help
me
to become
more
like Jesus.
I thank you.
I receive
it.
In Jesus'
name,
amen.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is
www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
and
LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thank you.